Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, sir. Brother B. What up, Brother L?
Welcome to Yes, this is Brother L. Good evening, all out there in Internet Radio Land. How are we all tonight?
I hope all is well. Everyone is blessed. For those that are sick, you feel better. For those that are better, get greater. Oh, man. It's been a long day.
It certainly has been a long day.
Yeah, man. But, I got a lot of stuff on my mind, but,
I feel you.
I'm working it out.
I feel the weight, brother. I feel the weight.
How you feeling?
I got some, things going through my mind right now, you know, so I'm just trying to get things, into play, let's just say.
I'm praying for you.
I'm praying for you too, my brother. Always.
Praying for you, everybody else out there. So, yo, man, I guess maybe not to it, but to do it, man. I mean, this is going to be like a three-part, you know, discussion. Topic is being black in America. And, you know, like I said, it's not so much an issue of race as it is about the issue of accountability. And, I don't know if you want to take a step out there first and, you know, let it rip or, you know.
Well, my brother, I'm going to let you set the tone on this one because, I got some things to say about being black in America, but. Because I am black in America.
You notice in the media, man. I mean, a lot. You, every time you turn around, ever since the whole Trayvon Martin, you know, George Zimmerman thing went down, and this dude was acquitted, found not guilty. You know, it seems like it's been just like this gradual, it just seemed like the media is really focusing on a black and white issue. And, it seems like they really are. It's like, you know, every time you turn around, you're hearing about some story of a white cop doing X, Y, and Z, or a white person doing this, or, you know, a black person doing that. And I'm like, the media should be ashamed of themselves for just, like, really promoting the propaganda and really, like, putting it out there, like, you know, trying to make it seem like it's all a black and white issue when it really isn't. You know, there's other things going on in the world. But when you want to turn around and just monopolize off of that one little, well, you know, people are always going to be interested in stories about black versus white or white versus black. Or, you know, a white cop shoots an unarmed teen or a white person shoots a black teen or something like that. Like, you should be ashamed of yourself. Like, next time you put the pen to the paper and try to actually write something is so foolish, like, oh, your pen breaks. Because this is the problem that's out there. It's like, you want to continue to paint this picture, you know, of, like, it's us versus them. And you know what? I'd be the first one to say it. I got no problem with white people. Like, what the hell? What the hell problem do I have with white people? Don't try to promote something that isn't there. And this is the problem. But we as black people, we don't say nothing about it at all. We just sit there and let it rock. But what's even worse, most of us even just fall into the hype without even knowing what the hell is going on.
Yeah, well, that's like, the problem.
Well, yeah, I was looking at the front page, and I mean, yo, I'm going to speak on it. Whoever takes offense, that's their business. Yeah, I mean, you, everyone's entitled to their opinion. But I was looking at the front page of the newspaper the other day, which I ain't even giving them no props by mentioning their name. But there was a kid, a black teen, that was shot and killed. And, you know, I think it was up in the Bronx.
Yeah.
But the thing is this, the kid had a gun, and he was trying to shoot. He was actually in the process. He was shooting at somebody that was running for his life.
Mm-hmm.
So as I was reading the story, of course they put white officer, such and such and such, and black officer, such and such and such. I'm like, are you serious? Like, do you really, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, are you really going that far?
Yes, they are. They truly are. It doesn't, me personally, when it comes to something like that, it doesn't matter whether they're white or black. Just say two officers. Why can't you just say two officers was, you know, trying to get the suspect? Why does it have to be the white officer and the black officer? Why does everything have to be so much, you know, a race thing here? Why? Because they know it generates a certain type of stimulation, and that stimulation, I feel, it boils into money and other things, and also even more hatred.
Of course.
And
of course, I mean, it means
it does spark a division. You know, we need to come together. We don't need to be divided. We got too much going on in the world to be divided as a nation. We got too much going on. We got too spread thinner than ice and getting spread thinner. And if we, you know, get into this whole black and white thing or make it explode bigger than what it is, yo, we really going to be in trouble here, because you're not going to be able to trust no one.
Well,
you know,
I mean, it's like a love story.
Man, one nation. We just got to come together. I mean, I would love for to put those that whole race thing, ethnicity thing, you know, religion thing aside, and let's just come together as a nation, as one. If you hungry, I'll feed you. If I'm hungry, you feed me. When you hurt, I'll cry for you. When I'm hurt, cry for me. Why can't we be like that?
Because that's not the way of big business. That's not the way of big business, and you can't keep control through peace. You can't keep control through peace.
Well, because, you know, you know, hatred, somehow they get some type of money stimulation out of it, you know, has to be. But,
well, of course, I mean, it's sensationalized. Mainstream media sells papers, and people watch the news when they hear about a white cop shooting an unarmed black teen. But nobody knows, or armed black teen, or whatever, but nobody knows the real reality of what's going on. Nobody really knows what happened. All they do is reading the paper or watching the story from someone else's perspective.
And it becomes a black thing or white thing. The story gets twisted, misconstrued. It doesn't have to even be a white or black. It could just be a personal thing. But then the media will make it into a black and white thing.
Exactly.
You know?
And us,
you know, being of, you know, of the black side of America, you know, we should, you know, we need to come together and, you know, try to put a stop. Well, you know, we all need to come together and tell the media, you know, you need to cease that and be a little bit more sensitive about things like that, because you're making things into a race thing when it doesn't need to be.
Well, all right, check this out.
Over you know, the overemphasis on the whole race thing. Oh, well, the black man or the Jew. Oh, man. Yo.
All right. It's time to let it rip. It's time to stop ducking the bullshit. It's time to let it rip. First of all.
Let it rip, bro.
How can we even begin to ask for or garner some type of respect when some of us are out there just doing stupid shit?
Well,
now,
in other words,
I gotta bring it up.
Making those stereotypes come to life.
Stereotypes,
all
bro, it is what it is.
There is truth to some of the stereotypes a little bit.
I mean, come on,
you know,
if you're 14 years old, bro, if you're 14 years old, 11 o'clock at night, and you outside with a gun shooting at somebody, what the hell you think you're going to have? What the hell you think is going to happen? What the hell you're doing wrong? You can't sit there and scream, oh, black this or justice or no peace. You can't even say nothing bad about the NYPD because the cats was doing their job.
Exactly.
So what are you doing? What are you talking about?
You 14 years old, out there in the street, at 11 o'clock, number one, what are you doing outside at 11 o'clock?
Well, it's 14, right. 16, 17.
14 years old.
What are you doing?
What are you doing? You're up to no good. You know you're up to no good. So when the cops come down on you because you young and you outside, then you know, hey, that's on you.
I mean, yo, we can't keep giving people. It's like a lot of us give people reason to dislike black people. Even though, once again, the mainstream media seems to just sensationalize this love-hate relationship with black versus the world. I don't know why it seems like we, especially, and I'm going to speak from a black man's perspective, like, why am I the monster? Why when I walk by your car door, you want to lock your door? Why you got to hold your purse when I'm on the elevator? Listen, I don't give a damn about you. I'm going about my business. But what makes my color? What makes the fact that I'm a black man, oh my gosh, he's terrible, he's this, because people keep going with this hype that's been going on for years. They've been going on with this hype that's going on since slavery. The black person is this, the black person is
it's good. It's been ingrained on people, that's what it is. It's been ingrained on people, and it's been ingrained on us also, like we're almost supposed to act like that. No, we're not.
Well, a lot of us do. We perpetuate the stereotype. You got a lot of these jackasses in rap music that turn around and talk all these guns, they talk all these drugs, and a lot of them don't even live like that. A lot of them never lived like that.
Well,
like, yo, I gotta call a spade a spade. I remember then when there was an issue with Rick Ross. Rick Ross talking all this drug and this thug stuff, but yeah, he used to be a correction officer. Come on, man. Come on.
You thought of law enforcement.
Yeah, but my thing is this. Why can't you perpetuate
that
the positive stereotype?
Exactly. Why? Because it's not gangster enough. You're not going to make no money by, you know, perpetuating that. You should.
Because you still, and I'm going to say, you still got that house nigga mentality going around.
Well,
oh,
that's what
well,
it is. And it's also people in the industry who's like, well, nah, you can't say that because that's not going to sell. Well, you know what? Sometimes we have to try different things to set the record straight. But they only go with what else? You know,
the question is, what is setting the record straight?
Excuse me?
The thing is, what is setting the record straight? You know what I'm saying? You got a lot of black people out there that are lost. You got a lot of black people that are still looking for their identity. So, you know what I'm saying? They'll get it from a magazine or they'll get it from a rap video or R&B song instead of them actually going out there trying to find out who the hell they are. A lot of us don't even know where we came from to even know where we're at or where we are going.
We're going, yeah. You're right. That is the sad part, you know.
We not only refuse to adhere to our history, our past, but I'm sure in schools nowadays, but all they teach is what? Blacks used to be slaves, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, Mega Evers, and that's that. Like, they keep it to a minimum.
Now you got President Obama.
Yeah, exactly. So now that we got a black president, it's supposed to cover up for everything that's happened. Like, instead of us saying, oh, we're sorry, which you ain't got to be, you ain't really got to be sorry, because really, you can't do something to somebody that we didn't allow. So we can't sit back and say, oh, well, the white man was totally in control of the whole situation and started this whole. Listen, do you think some of them Africans that said, here, take this dude, take this cat, take them out of here. Some of these tribes gave up cats because either they were no good or they just didn't want them there. So you have blacks giving away
what? We got him to sell. So yeah. So
yeah.
Are we partly to blame for our shame? You could say that in a nutshell.
Yeah, we are.
Say that in a nutshell. But you know what? This is now 2013. And we all have access to give, to have a better life. No matter where you came from, it's about where you're going. But it starts with your mind. It starts with up here. You gotta focus on what needs to be done. You gotta focus on what goals you want to set for yourself. Not about, I'm trying to get all the money. I'm talking about being a citizen of this country, a citizen of the United States, a citizen who is taking care of your part, doing what you got to do, which means taking care of your family. You take care of your household, the rest will follow. If you could take care of your household, the rest will follow. It might not be exactly what you want, but it is something to contribute for your family and for the future. For who knows what, you know, what might come. But if you do the right thing, you know, and show them the path, then yo, the world is theirs. It's not about, you know, what shoes you got to get, what the clothing line. Yo, it's about elevating your mind. It's about grasping hold of what fortunes are out there for you to have or to make tangible to yourself. You could better yourself. Like I said, it might not be in the exact way that you want, but better yourself from where you were yesterday. That's what it's about. And that's, you know.
But how do you go about making making things better when you have no
there's
time
so many,
to know what's good? Well, how do you go about making things better? There's so many different avenues
and, you know, there's many different avenues that you can take.
Hold on. How do you go about making things better when you don't have any concept of what's good in the first place?
Well, first of all, then, you know, maybe that problem is that you need a mentor. You need somebody to mentor you. You need somebody to pull, you know, the positive out of you because you have so much negativity. I mean, everybody knows somebody who's doing something positive. And don't let your ego, because that's what a lot of times it is, our ego and our pride is so big that we don't want to ask for help because we're in a situation. You know, if you're trying to make yourself better, then, yo, sometimes you got to put your pride, I wouldn't say aside, but you got to bring it down some so you can climb over your own wall, so you can reach out to people to help you. Because they're there, man. They're there. You just have to, you know, bring that wall down to where you can reach, hey, I want to get into this. Hey, how do I go about doing this? Hey, can you help me write a resume? You know, because a lot of us don't know how to write a resume. And that stops us from, you know, getting jobs because we don't know how to write a resume. Get with somebody who does know how to write a resume. I mean, hell, you could go to your community center and they'll help you how to write a resume. They will give you the tools. Go to the library. Because a lot of us, we don't go to the library. We think, oh, that's for this one. That's for that one. No, it's not for this one. It's not for that one. It's for you.
Yeah, but see,
It's for you.
But why should I go put a resume together? Why should I go through all that when there's services out here that are willing to help me out when I can, you know, say something's wrong and I can go collect Social Security,
welfare,
system. Why should I do that? Listen,
that is nothing but a handicap to keep you down because they only give you but so much.
Okay, well, hey,
they only give you but so much just to survive, but you ain't going nowhere.
Well, hey, well, you know what? Either my girl can get on the system or I can get on the system,
and then one of us can get a little job.
We get a job so the system will pay our rent and we can get the food stamps and then we can take my paycheck or our paycheck, we can live good. So why can't I pimp the system?
Can you take a trip with that little paycheck? Can you go see other cultures? See, a lot of it is people just say, well, I get on the system and I'm good. No, you're not good because you're still in a cage. You're in the cage of the system where it's only letting you go but so far. It's limiting you to certain neighborhoods, to certain aspects of life.
But what do I give a damn about other aspects of life when other aspects of life don't give a damn about me?
Well, that's the problem right there. And that's another problem right there. It's not about what gives a damn about you. It's what you give a damn about.
Well, most of all,
what you're willing to give a damn about. Because a lot of times that's the problem with us black people, you know. Well, nobody give a damn about me, so I'm going to be this type of way. You're going to walk around with that attitude, you know. Which throws people off, which throws everybody off. Even in the ones that are closest to us, even our own. You know, it's like, oh, well, I can't deal with that person because, you know, look how they acted. They're portraying what the media wants us to be. An angry black person.
A lot of them. Yeah, a lot of them are portraying that. A lot of them portraying these asshole sellout rappers. We'll turn around and, I mean, the saddest part about a lot of our culture nowadays, because it wasn't always like this, but it seemed like nowadays it's just a pool of negativity.
Yeah.
646-378-1882 is the call-in number. I forgot to say that earlier. 646-378-1882. 378-1882 is the call-in number.
Come on, call in.
Back to what I was saying, like it seems like our whole culture is just like, it's just negativity-based. Like, if it's not about selling drugs, if it's not about, you know, black women degrading themselves, if it's not about, you know, going to jail as your rite of passage, if it's not about, you know what I'm saying, just, like, doing drugs and stuff like that, it's like then you're not with it. You're not hip. You're not a part of, you know, what's going on. Like, you're a cornball. So you're trying to tell me if not my popping pills, I'm a cornball. You trying to tell me if my pants are hanging off my ass, I'm a cornball. You trying to tell me if I ain't talking about drugs, selling drugs, or doing some drugs or whatever, that I'm a cornball. Well, you know, I'm just going to have to be the biggest one of them all. Because
no.
It's an asinine mentality. Because white people ain't saying that. And I have to say it like that. Indian people, Asian people, all other types of people, they ain't raising their kids like that. They ain't even allowing their kids to have that type of shit coming out their mouth. But yet it's all right for us. It's okay. It's okay whether it's a single parent home or a dual parent home, it's okay to not call your kids on their shit. It's okay to go out here and you seem to think that you can do whatever the hell you want to do. 1 o'clock in the morning, you 13 years old, and you stand out in front of the store. So when we was 13 years old at 1 o'clock in the morning, where the hell was we at?
I wish I would be in front of a store, man. I would have got tore from the floor up.
That's what I'm saying.
13 years old? Nah. I had my bike, and I was with some older cats on their bike. We was bike riding. Wasn't trying to hang out in front of no store.
You know what I'm saying? Like, come on. Once again, a lot of people can sit out there and say the white man, this man, that man, and everybody else, this woman, and that. Yo, take accountability for your own BS.
Yeah, you got to.
If you're out there trying to get a job and your pants is hanging off, you got on some slacks that don't fit and some shoes that are a size big because you had to go get it from some community organization because either you chose to buy the new Jordans instead of investing in some quality clothing so you can look somewhat respectable in the eyes of society when you're going out to get a job or something.
Yeah, don't get mad
when you don't get the job. Don't get mad.
Yeah. You can't go to a job, you go in somewhere asking for an application, and you looking musty, dusty, and crusty. You can't do that. You can't go to a job with just a T-shirt on and your pants hanging off your behind and your hair looking like, who did it?
But
you got to go in there looking respectable. You got to look a certain way. And it's not a black thing or a white thing. It's a personal thing.
Yeah.
That's the one thing we got to stop also. You know, we got to stop that. If you look nice and neat and you got a button-down shirt on, you looking white. No, you're not, you freaking moron. You're looking like you got some damn sense in you. Ladies, I don't know what's going on with you ladies, sisters, with your skirt all hacked up. A lot of you ladies, not just white, I mean, not just black, but a lot of you ladies, you trying to go to a job interview with some damn mini skirt on, or you going into the house of the Lord with a party dress on. That's not cute. That's not cute. There's only one thing about you.
But where does it come from, B? Where the hell does it come from? Because like I said, well, this is about us. Where the hell, once again, why are we?
You know where it comes from?
Hold on. Why is black the problem? Because you answer that. Because somebody answer that damn question. Why is black always been? Why is black people always
you want to know what it is?
Be like the problem, the stigma for society's ills.
It just comes from when we first got over here, you know, just that sense of it has not gone away, you know. It hasn't gone away. It hasn't gone away within us, and it hasn't gone away within in a good portion of American society. You know, whatever we hold on to, they will magnify it. They magnify it.
What do you mean?
What do you mean, what I mean? It magnifies.
Yeah, what do you mean? What do you say when you say when we hold on to something? Like, what do you mean? Like, I'm really asking you, like, what do you mean?
Okay. About us holding on to things?
Yeah.
Us holding on to, like, the days of our oppression. The days of our when we was enslaved.
When we were slavery and then we were getting killed and lynched and dragged back to trucks and being dragged. Are we supposed to forget about that?
No, not supposed to forget about it, but
no, we're supposed to forget about that.
No.
It's supposed to be okay.
No. No. We're supposed to, you know, rise above that and show society how we have come from and how triumphant we are.
Well, that's the problem.
But that's
the problem, bro. It's like this. How could you savages have this triumphant and strong attitude and persevere through all that has been done to you? Who the hell are you to go to church every Sunday or Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday and Saturday too, and praise the Lord and after all that's been done to you, who are you to feel proud of yourself? Who the hell are you?
A black man named Lyle Prince living in America and proud of it.
But
that's who I am.
You're not supposed to be. And that's the anger.
It's
that's
not
the anger
what
thing.
Who says I'm not supposed to be? It's who I am. That's what it is. See, a lot of people, that's the problem. That's another thing, a problem in our society. You know, well, they say, damn it, they say. Get up and do what you got to do. It might be an uphill battle, but so what? Life in general is an uphill battle. Everybody's going through something.
Let me throw this out there.
And nobody's giving you a piece of the pie.
No doubt. But the whole thing is this, and I'm going to jump the other side of the fence. After a while, you do get tired of getting crumbs.
Well, that's when you got to, you know, try to get your own.
You've been giving crumbs for years. But listen, you've been giving crumbs for years, and you keep seeing other people get slices of the pie.
Yo, you know what other people we got to learn to do? Invest. We don't invest our money.
But it goes beyond that. We don't even.
No.
We don't even invest in ourselves positively.
We have to invest, but we don't. We don't. We have to trust in ourselves to invest, man.
Well, that's,
I mean,
some of us are doing it, and that's beautiful,
and that's great, but more of us need to be doing it.
Dude, we don't even trust each other. We don't even trust ourselves.
Well, yes.
We don't even trust ourselves.
You know, the skin that we wear is not an easy skin to be in. But I tell you what, when we out there doing our thing and we making moves and making it happen, Man, there's nothing like seeing a black man or a black woman having her own and doing her thing. There's nothing like it. I love seeing that.
Yeah, I love seeing it too. But the reality of it is this. You can't keep, you can't have 80% negative and 20% positive. You can't, you know what I'm saying? That's the whole thing. There has to be some type of balance. When the hell have we as a people ever had balance? Black people, you know, we don't have balance. That's the whole thing. I mean, years ago, like I said with the civil rights movement, it seemed like we had something. We had something to hold. There was some type of hope. There were people out there that were willing to speak up, that were willing to stand up for the cause, for our cause, for us.
Black, white.
Now.
Yeah.
Exactly. Now.
I feel it has diminished.
Exactly, because you know what? As much as people want to try and make Martin Luther King, he was the stand up, the person that stood up for blacks. And all. He didn't just stand up for blacks. He stood up for everybody.
Everybody.
But, you know, that's the whole thing. He stood up for all people. Anybody that was oppressed, he stood up for. Not just for black people.
He was
right. But the whole thing is this. No one still wants to take what he did. What did the man die for? Because it's like what he did meant something, but look at where we at now. Look at where we at. Never did I ever think that I would hear on the radio these old so-called rappers or whatever the hell they are talking about popping drugs. Like, are you serious? That's not us. I mean, we would occasionally talk about smoking weed or drinking alcohol or something, but you're talking about popping pills. Yeah, so you just go out there and just give that attitude out. You just give that idea out to some young-minded, impressionable kid that's going to be like, hey, if Lil Wayne is taking his drugs and drinking liquor and cough medicine, then, hey, I'm going to do it too.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, it's not the first because, I mean, look, they have sipping on some scissors.
I know. But my thing is this.
Okay.
But my thing is this. When did we become so feeble-minded? We don't trust, it's like it's sad, when we don't trust the people that try to help us, but we'll trust the people that try to hurt us more.
That's what happens when we get misguided, you know?
You put faith in some jackass rapper or some jackass R&B artist or some jackass on TV that's doing something stupid. But what about the person in your community trying to organize and rally the troops together in your community to do the right thing for your community, for yourself? You know what I'm saying? Like, he's corny, or she's corny. Like, the hell with this community. Like, I'm trying to get out of here so I can be here. Or I'm trying to get away from this so I can be that. Or if this ain't happening, then that ain't no fun. Like, I don't know why we, like, some of us, but especially this generation, have to equate negativity with fun. Like, doing the wrong thing is fun.
I mean, that's...
Like, our family structure is totally screwed up. And if we allowed the system to come in and destroy us morally. We allowed the system to destroy our family structure. We allowed the system and the powers that be to basically turn us against each other. We allowed this. And the thing is, the system, sometimes you can't even blame the system no more because now it's like, hey, it was an experiment. We'll start this and then they'll go off and do it on their own. Give them some drugs. They'll destroy themselves. Give them some guns. They'll destroy each other. You know, give them some quarter waters. Give them a whole bunch of... make sure that their supermarkets is stocked with this type of food, all the processed and all the stuff that's high in sugar and high in sodium. Make sure all of that stuff is in their area. But make sure a Trader Joe's is nowhere near the projects. Make sure a Trader Joe's is nowhere near certain areas in Brownsville, Brooklyn. Make sure that there's no health food stores in certain areas, because just let them destroy themselves. And the sad thing is like we do it with pride. We just say the hell with it. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. What the hell are you so concerned with somebody else care for? Why don't you care about your goddamn self? And once again, this is the problem. If you don't give a damn about you, how the hell do you expect somebody else to give you that respect to even care about you? You don't even give a damn about yourself. If you don't respect yourself, if you don't respect your community, if you don't respect what you got, how do you expect somebody else to respect you?
That's where it starts at. It starts with self-respect. You got to start with self-respect. Not disrespect, but self-respect. You disrespecting yourself when you're wearing your pants off your ass. You disrespect yourself when you out there cussing all types of loud in the street. You disrespecting yourself. You disrespecting yourself when, you know, you are out there on that corner and you've been there for the past 5 hours. And you're doing it every day. You're disrespecting yourself. Because
do we even know what respect is? Do we even know what love is? Not lust. But do we know what any of this is?
Maybe a lot of us think we do and we don't.
And that's the problem.
That's one of the problems, you know. But I'm afraid, you know, that for some time, though, the pattern is still going to continue.
Of course it's going to continue. Of course it's going to, because we allow it to continue.
But you want to know something, though? I mean, I find it so unique how we can see it. We can see what's happening in our own community. Like, we could see it, but others can't. The ones that are living it and doing it, like, they can't see it, or they know, but they're not willing to do anything about it.
Because they're comfortable. Comfortable. Listen,
that's that niggerism. That's that ignorance.
Of course.
Ignorance
of course.
Is bliss.
Of course.
Okay? Because you're just not focusing on what is the big picture at hand. You're only seeing what's in front of your face. You're only seeing what's there right now. You're not thinking about a couple of years down the line. You're not thinking, but you need to. You're not caring how other people perceive you, because in your eyes and in your mind, you think that you're cool and you're hip and it's about you. No, it's about us as a whole.
Well,
because they see it as when one act up, they all act up.
Well, all right. when something happens for a couple of
and
weeks,
and we know
days,
how to act up as black people.
Of course. But we know how, but see, we know how to act up the wrong way.
That's what I'm talking about.
We take it to a different hill. A lot of our people are too chicken to act up in the right way, but they'll act up in the wrong way.
A lot of us, they don't even know that they're doing it. I have asked girls, like, yo, why you have to be so loud like that? Loud like what? That right there. This is me. No, sweetheart. That's not cute. That's ugly. When your friend is down the block and you call her all types of names, that's foolishness. And you disturbing the peace. We got to call her. I think who this number is.
I don't see no caller.
Man, 347-510-5776.
That's better late than never.
Well, you know. Let my man Pierre in the door.
That's better late than never. Welcome.
Good evening, brother P. What's up, man?
Hey, how you doing?
Yeah, we all right, bro. You know, we just, you know, talking about basically, like, you know, being black in America. You know.
I think I know a little something about that.
I think we all know something about that.
I mean, my thing is, overall, accountability. Like I said, we can riot and we can rally when something happens. Like, when injustice is done to us, we can get out there and hit the streets. But when we do our own dirt, ain't nobody got anything to say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we should be rioting and rallying our own communities against the our own people who's doing the negative stuff.
Yeah, well, that would be a nice, beautiful
anybody,
thing.
I don't see anybody going against some of these dumbass rappers that be talking this junk. I don't see anybody boycotting them, and it's bad enough. I mean, come on. I mean, you gotta really look at it is for what it is. Because a lot of these cats think everybody else is stupid. That's why they say the things that they say, and they're like, hey, I'm going to make this money. But they ain't going to put their kids in no public school. They ain't going to teach their kids the same thing that they telling you. They're going to make sure that their kids' pants ain't hanging off their ass. They're going to make sure that their kids is going to school, getting the good grades. It's the ones that's listening to the BS that they like, hey, you know, you listen
to this,
you'll be okay.
So what? So be it. It's all a gimmick. It's all a game. It's all for fun.
But like I said, and I don't got to say it, when a white man or a cop do something wrong, the whole damn community want to jump on it.
That's
but
true.
When it's one of us, we ain't saying nothing. We ain't got nothing to say. And that right there, that's the laziness and that's the ignorance of our people. Because like I said, a white man or a cop go do it, a white cop go do it, then the whole community is like, oh, we got to get this guy. But what about the homeboy from the building across the street? He just murdered X, Y, and Z. Oh, that's a damn shame. You know, I knew it was coming. That's all you hear. You know, we used to bake cakes on Sundays. She used to go to church. She's a very good woman. I feel sorry for her. But nobody, there's no outcry. There's no rage against the machine. There's none of that. No, nobody in our community should be getting a goddamn pass for doing the wrong thing. Because all it does is give everybody else a reason that's not black to sit back and say, look at these MFs.
True.
They can't even control themselves in their own area. So you know we gotta guard up against them. If they're busy killing each other, you know what they'll do to us. And then you got some old, you got some old bastard telling his kids, yeah, you got to watch those little savages because they were savages when I was younger, and we used to drag them from trucks and hang them from trees, and they're savages now. Look at them. Because everything we do is under the microscope. And we've been sitting back and watching ourselves under the microscope for years, but stupid asses keep doing the same goddamn dumb thing. You're still going out there shooting each other. You're still going out there selling drugs to one another. You're still going out there talking about, oh, the white man. Shut the hell up. But the white man ain't do it to you. You're doing it to yourself. So stop blaming everybody else.
It's like Pac said, you know, they say it's the white man I should care, but it's my own kind doing all the killing here.
There you go.
Exactly. Like you can't keep there blaming somebody else. You can't sit there and keep hating on somebody for getting it and what you're doing. You just choose not to do it. Get off that handout. Go out there and make something. Go out there and be something. Just because 20 people told you, oh, we can't hire you, did you go to another 20? You don't stop.
No, you never know. That 21st person just might hire you. All you got to do is clean your act up a little bit.
Yeah,
I'm just
going
to throw like little ruffians out there that, you know, that are just out there lost, man. Find the light and get focused. You need that.
What light?
No.
What light are they seeing? What light are they really seeing?
They see the light. They just don't want to go to it because, you know, like I said, they feel ignorance is bliss. But they soon learn, you know, later on when they in their 30s, yo, I should have did this. Yo, I should have did that. I should have did this. Well, you decided to do X, Y, and Z.
But the sad part is by the time you're 30.
So now you're behind bars for 1, 2, 3 years or 3 decades.
But wait a minute, bro. And you're absolutely right. But at the same time, by the time some of them get into their late 20s, early 30s, and they wake up, they either got charges pending, they got old charges, records that so-called are expunged, or they got misdemeanors. Don't you see the setup? That's the whole thing about it. People, listen, when a black man says it's a setup, oh, you're paranoid. It's a conspiracy theory. But when somebody like Giuliani wanted to say quality of life, he knows who's standing in front of them stores. He knows who's out there doing what needs to be done. Wait, we got another caller. Let's let this one jump in. 4109,
you're on the...
That's Chad.
4109, what's up?
What's up? What are you talking about?
What's up? Who is this?
It's Chad.
It's Chad.
Oh, it's beef to the barbecue. What up, brother? What up, man? Chad heard me going off and say, yo, let me jump in this. I didn't even know what the topic was. Chad just sent me the text.
Oh, it's about being black in America.
What about it?
it's issues, man, that we need to address amongst each other. You know what I'm saying? Because it can't continue to keep going through life trying to make it seem like it's somebody else's fault. Once again, when are we going to take accountability for our actions? When we going to stop letting MFers like Rick Ross talk all this crap, but yeah, he used to be a freaking corrections officer. Like, when are we going to have people out there, you know what I'm saying, standing up and promoting positivity instead of going out there promoting the negative? When is somebody going to call into the Hot 97s and the other radio stations and be like, yo, why don't you play some Mos Def? And why don't you play some To Live Quality? Why don't you play some positive underground music instead of playing all the negative booty shaking, you know,
misogynistic
and all that other stuff. When you gonna play some real music?
Holy hell.
You know what I'm saying? Like when is it gonna stop?
How
Remember Rodney King, the whole Rodney King situation? Yo, you did. Listen, I'm gonna call a spade a spade. If you don't like, nobody don't like it, so what? We burnt down our own communities. But I bet you the Negroes wasn't going to Beverly Hills, because they know if they would have went to Beverly Hills, they'd have been shot on sight.
Oh, Beverly Hills waiting. Let them come over here. Let them come here. That's not going to happen
Katrina,
here.
When Katrina went down.
Yeah.
When Katrina went down, you couldn't even go to the other side of town. They was like refugees. You ain't coming over here?
That's exactly what they said. They got up on the bridge and said, turn back around. You're not coming this way.
I actually heard even a little bit more about that whole Rodney King issue to even begin with, and heard that, you know what I'm saying, the boys probably went a little too far, but I heard that he said more than enough to provoke that ass whipping. But listen, I heard that he was trying to fight them and everything, was drunk, was wilding out. So it's like, y'all so mad because he's such a victim, but you fail to realize the fact that he played a part in this whole quote unquote victim role. But then again, the so many people who are talking about being victims have this thing called perpetual victimhood, where it's like you're always a victim, no matter
you're
what.
You're always
a victim.
Yes.
You're no damn victim, and also it's like it's. This is retard level stuff. Because it's like, how the hell do you talk about being equal? Everybody being equal, right? But yet about how shit is not fair. Tell me this. If you playing basketball, right? You playing basketball.
Uh-huh.
And somebody, like your opponent, is saying, we're equal playing this game, right? But as soon as you start dribbling the ball, they start crying about how it's not fair because you can dribble so well, but they can't. Are y'all equal basketball players?
Nah.
Do you respect them as an equal? No. You say, I'm better than you.
You.
You have an equal opportunity to do whatever, but I'm better than you. This is what happens with race at times. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I'm not saying it's like, I don't mean the exact blanket statement to say all white people think like this in regards to all black people. But I tell you this, if I was white and I heard these same freaking complaints, I'd be like, please, get out of here with that nonsense. If you're complaining so much, you're obviously not as good as me.
Yeah. You're right.
You know? And like you said, you're right about you know, when is it, like, when we going to take accountability, responsibility for our own actions. Don't nobody want to do that. I just had a little thought about that meme. Don't nobody have time. Ain't nobody got time.
Time for that. Yeah. You got to stop doing the blame games. Blaming this person, blaming that person, blaming how you grew up. How about blaming yourself?
Damn right.
Nah.
I came from this situation, but I want to make my situation better. I want to live like that person. I want to live like this person. Focus
right
on the path and start on it. One step at a time. Doesn't come overnight. It takes time to get there.
But a lot of us want self. It got to be instant. It got to be just like water, Kool-Aid packet, boom, instant drink. You know what I'm saying? Food, instant.
Thing,
everything got to be instant right there.
Life is not like minute rice where poof, it's there now. No, it takes work.
Yeah, we'll tell you, because we grew up in, like, for the majority of, you know what I'm saying, of our childhood in the same area. You know, like, we are a couple of you know, like out of, like, many people who, you know, didn't do, you know, like, there's a lot of people in the area, but not everybody, like, you know, managed to, quote-unquote, make it out of the hood.
Right.
what is so special about us that we was able to make it out the hood? I mean, like, don't get me wrong. I hold myself to a higher standard than I do the average person.
Well, that's what it is. It's
right,
holding yourself to a standard where other people don't hold themselves to anything.
Right.
Yeah, but what standards
It's not even about. Sometimes it's just your own self standards. Like, okay, I want to get here. I want to do this. I want to go to school. I want to do this. I don't want to be like that person out there. The standard is that idiot that you don't want to be like.
Right.
That's enough to be a standard. I don't want to be like Uncle Joe, or I don't want to be like this idiot over here on the corner. I don't want to be like this idiot. All he do is standing in front of the building selling stuff. I don't want to be like this idiot. All he trying to do is just get the next pair of Jordans.
But check it out. Like, this, despite holding myself to a higher, like, you know, trying to hold myself to a higher standard at times, I know that what I've done is not special. And I'm like, there's no reason that the next person shouldn't be able to do it. I didn't come up with the next great, amazing idea and invent it and get out the hood. You know, like, those things are, there's only a couple of them left to discover, you know? There's only a couple left, you know? But it's like, I didn't do something that's so special and so amazing that somebody else shouldn't be able to do it. I'm not done with what I'm doing, you know? But average person from the same type of area would be quicker to blame that area and feed into the lifestyles of the area and remain in the cycle and then blame the white man who they probably ever see in their life.
If anything, from where you came from should make you stronger.
Right.
To make you stronger.
What you
going to
say,
P? You was below the standard. You was below the belt. And you came up and you elevated. So you should be able to deal with any type of situation that come your way. Because you literally came from the ground up. You didn't have the silver spoon in your mouth.
Hold on. I got to stop you right there because, come on, man. You got this cat talking about coming from the bottom, now we here. Like, he wasn't from the bottom. He wasn't from the bottom. And nowadays,
we're not even addressing that cat right
now.
Listen,
I'm telling you. You got to listen to what I'm saying. I'm just using that as an example. Because, yo, I remember the days of sugar water, ketchup sandwiches, mayonnaise sandwiches. Things was rough. You know what I'm saying?
I've done that.
The free butter, the powdered milk, all that. You know what I'm saying? Whether it was rough or was semi-rough. Cats nowadays, please, they can't survive. They ain't survivors. They don't know about coming from the bottom. With all the opportunities they got going now, what bottom are they coming from? They're creating their own bullshit bottom to try to justify the ignorance that they do.
Yep.
See, but that's what I was gonna say before. This standard that we've been talking about, I think the initial standard that one sets for themselves, they get that from the house, from where they're raised at. So that, I think the standard comes from where they look at their parents or one of the parents, whatever adult figure that's raising them or whatnot, and they see what they have around them and they see what they have done. You know what I'm saying? And then they make the decision. I will. Or if I do this, then I can get that. And I think that's where their standard come from. At least that's where their initial thought process of a standard come from.
I could definitely agree with you on that. That is part of it, yeah.
Yes, that's a part of it. And like you touched on earlier, the whole looking around you and saying, I don't want to be like X, Y, and Z, that's like the definition. That's like the blueprint of how I've operated on various things throughout my life. That, to me, I call that common sense.
How many people are adopting your way? like, you're probably, like, one of the real, really last generations to actually look around your environment and be like, yo, I'm not trying to be in this. Because nowadays, cats try to make the environment cool. You can't make drug dealing cool. You can't make killing cool. You can't make prostitution and, you know what I'm saying, lust and all the broken homes. You can't make that cool. That's what you're doing right now. You're putting a ribbon on it.
And the two cars in the garage. Prostitution don't do that.
Listen,
the drugs don't do that either.
People put something up there about the education, facade. About how they're failing with the test scores. You can't make doing bad in school cool. You can't.
Hey, yo.
No. What Bloomberg tried to do was justify those low scores.
Which
dude is a freaking, I want to say it, but he was a moron on that one, okay? Education, not his forte.
No, not at all.
A low score is a low score. When you go from a higher score to a lower score, does not mean progress. It never has.
So you don't care.
Never will. Bloomberg, cut it out. Bring back the old curriculum, or, you know, start pushing the curriculum, which will better prepare them for those tests. How can you give a test and not have the curriculum for the test? That's a fail, Bloomberg. It's just a fail. Now, back to the program.
Hey, how deep this whole look around you stuff runs for me. This, like, you're talking to a person, and I'm going to jump out the window and say that I'm a rare person here who has not ever never smoked weed, right? I'm 30 years old, never smoked weed. Coming from the South Side.
That is kind of rare.
Now, why did I never smoke weed? Ask Pierre. I looked around me, and I was like, nope. Every single person I've seen smoking weed, I figured out that they lost their ambition, right?
Okay.
Associated the two.
They gave up.
I'm not doing that. Numerous things. Looked around me, like, nope, that is a method of failure. Not doing it.
Understandable.
But wait a minute. Look at all the cats that do smoke. And they make something of themselves. It's a personal excuse. For some of these people out here, it's a personal excuse.
Not so much. I'll tell you this. For the average person who is not an artist, because that's the exception to the rule. People who are artists can smoke, and they can actually use that, and they can actually achieve more. Ironically, if you are not an artist and you are a person who, you know, smokes. Especially to the point that you could be called a weed head. Chances are, it is taking away from you, regardless how far you get.
I know people who are functioning weed heads. There's functional crackheads out there nowadays. They clean up their game.
Let me ask you this: does that mean that they are doing better than what they would do without it?
I mean, you know what? If it's to the individuals.
That just sounds like dependency on to me.
No, listen, it is. Because, you know, the whole thing is this. You can't just put on us, because it's like every who, like, please, some of the people that you wouldn't think smoke weed.
No.
But it doesn't really matter. Like, this thing got the whole, it's not.
There is no profession. There is no profession that I say, oh, no way, they don't smoke weed. I'm not saying that. You could be a multimillionaire. I'm saying that no matter what, if you are not an artist and you are putting the time to smoke in like that, it's taken away from you. Now, put it like this: 100 minus 1 is still 99, right? But it still was decreased, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's like if that was a test, you still got an A, but you still lost a point. The point is that no matter what, it's probably taken away from you. So you can still succeed. You can still be a success. I'm not saying that if you smoke, you're gonna fail in life. That's not what I'm saying. But
yeah,
if you wasn't smoking, you probably would have did a little bit more. Even if a little bit more, it's literally a little bit.
Gotcha.
Yeah, but you know what the whole thing, do our people really know success? Success is the term.
Some of us do know success.
Our people seem to, and correct me if I'm wrong, but most of our people, if the way you look at it, seem to determine success on money, the amount of money that they have, on material items. Material items mean success to them.
You know what?
Out of that stupid ass thought that material equates with success. Material items don't equate with success.
Success is where you can take care of your family and your home.
Well, how many of us have families and homes? Yo, a lot of kids nowadays are growing up. Our family structure, single parent homes. You know, I gotta say some real talk right here. I'm shooting this straight at the women. Because you know what, I'm gonna put it out there. My daughter told me that she heard her mother make a comment to her mother on the phone about, oh, I'm gonna prove you wrong, I'm gonna prove dad wrong, I can raise her without him. Yo, let's get something straight here. To you goddamn women out there who want to make kids or want to have kids and seem to think that it's okay to kick the father to a curb, you are part of the goddamn problem. You perpetuate the stereotype of a broken home. Listen, if you and that dude don't get along, that's one thing. But don't sit there and undermine the damn relationship that the father may have with the kid or the relationship that y'all need to have for your kid or your children, for them to go off in this life and see, you know what I'm saying, and do the right thing. Just like it takes a village. But don't sit there and perpetuate that stereotype. And then run to the goddamn television. You want to sit there and say, oh, I don't need him. But then you want to run to the goddamn system. You want to run to court and be like, I want child support. Well, didn't you just say you don't need him?
That's part of what I wanted to mention. That, the strongest way that I think that black people might have gotten screwed was when pretty much things like, you know, the welfare system, which made it easier for the black man to get kicked to the curb. Because you take him out the house, and you make the government the new man of the house. Now, the black man has lost a lot more power because this whole thing didn't hurt any race as much as it did the black people. It does not mean that it was necessarily designed to do that, but the fact of the matter is that black people were the ones hit the most by this. Why? Because maybe because the family structure wasn't strong enough as is. Most white people didn't have to worry about this as much because they were just in better positions, you know, when this first happened. Latinos, they had a strong family, stronger family structure. You know, plus the men, like the men-women dynamic, completely different. You know, like a lot of women actually, you know, at least used to treat the men like men. You know, and that's why you had dumbass Americans talk, like trying to make them out to be, chauvinist a lot of times, right? And then Asians don't feed into none of the American bullshit until they get here and live here for a bunch of years and a couple of generations go by. Then they start getting tripped up, but for the most part, they get to pull off a lot of the things that the white people pull off because they come over here with money. You know, and they just have a different, like, you know, like, they have different family values too. So, a lot
and
of
now the Indians are doing it. Now the Indians are coming over here with money.
Oh, you in India? From India? They have theirs too. You know what I'm saying? So that's how black people was hurt the most. So then you have, you know what I'm saying? But that's not a fault that we're supposed to be putting on the white man decades later.
That's our problem.
You know what I'm saying? Like how stupid you got to be to fall for the same trap for decades? Hello? You know? So the men and women dynamic so fragile. You know, like that's that of course that helped us to stay in bad positions, have broken homes, and people, you know, they aspire to have things that are like you know, not even meeting minimum standards as far as I'm concerned.
Well, quick question. Since we're on the topic of weed and welfare, did they ever pass that law making people who are on welfare take drug tests? Because I noticed, like,
I think that's how it was, like a correlation.
But I don't know if
they
actually
need to have that. Mm-hmm.
They need to have that.
Boy, oh, boy. They didn't do that yet,
because
I tell you what, a whole lot of people would be on for that.
Yeah, I mean,
a whole lot of people would be on for that.
I remember hearing rumors about it, that they were trying to get this thing passed. I didn't know if they actually passed it.
That'd be like 90% of the people.
Why? And that thing that she was saying about the whole, I could raise, like, I don't need him, I'll raise the kids by myself, that's something you mainly hear from, you know, white people. Like, mostly from minorities, and of minorities, I think, this is a guess here, is like, minorities happen to not be the minority when it comes to that. So, you know, like, that is a huge problem. And, like, you know, you were spot on in what you were saying about it. Like, how the hell you say you don't need him, but, you know what I'm saying, but then want his money. And why are
you
going
to run right through
the court?
So much. I don't need him. I don't need this. But then you're going to try to make the next man the daddy. So then you confuse the children.
Because a lot of this stuff that is associated with liberals.
Hmm? It all boils down to self-hatred. A lot of times it just boils down to self-hatred. It boils down to the fact that you don't even know yourself to even believe in yourself, to even have a self to go forth and do the right thing. How could you sit there and say, oh, I don't need him for this, I don't need him for that? Is that's a one sided situation right there. You don't sit just like a man can sit there and say,
because,
oh, I don't need her for this, or I don't need her for that. Listen, you started a family, bite the goddamn bullet. Because you know what? Everybody else does it. Everybody else does it. Don't think Asians ain't biting the bullets, Indians ain't biting. You know what I'm saying? It may look all peachy and clean to us, but behind closed doors, they probably doing dirt too. But they'll never let you know it. We're the assholes that put our shit out on Front Street. We put our shit right there on Front Street.
This is a problem with being too liberal. You heard?
Yeah, that's a problem. Yeah.
This is a problem with being too liberal, and that's where this country has been steadily headed. Like, you know, how many problems I can correlate or directly relate to feminism, which started
oh,
out
man.
Started
Don't
out good.
Get started. Oh man,
it started out good.
Wow,
it started out with a lot of good things, but you know, it went off the course. And this is all, like, this is pretty much, like, what you're talking about right now is a product of that. And, you know, like even feminism is a product of, like, a bigger, you know what I'm saying, of, like, a bigger beast. But, you know, because of this same line of thinking, this is why you have completely unfair marriage laws, like, these are not fair. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, women will complain about things not being fair when things are actually tipped in their favor. And it's like, are you kidding me? You know,
yeah.
But like, to tie it back to your point, like you were just saying, I don't need him, right? Well, when you have the feminist movement go on and say that you can be just as promiscuous as a man, and it's perfectly fine, but they have the bigger thing to worry about because if they get pregnant, now,
exactly.
You know, either having to get an abortion or they're carrying a child, you know, now it's like, well, we have to protect them, right? So
yep.
You have the government step in, and they, you know, welfare and stuff like that. So now she really feels like, oh, I'm a strong woman. I can do whatever I want. I don't need you. The government steps
exactly.
in, adds extra money, or makes you pay money. You know, and it's like, this is all, like, if you can't see the connection between that and feminism, then you're basically in denial because it is right in front of you. You know, and it's like, it's a series of things. You know, one of the best things is about marriage. The divorce rate is insane, right?
It's a moneymaker.
Once upon a time, getting a divorce was like unheard of. Now, not getting a divorce is unheard of.
Mm.
Exactly.
In two generations, the idea of there not being an availability for divorce will sound medieval. This is you know, a process of social reform that takes years, and they push really hard with something ridiculous, and you say, you must be out of your goddamn mind. But they push so hard for it that eventually people say, you know what, let's compromise. So you try to meet somewhere in the middle, right? And they take that, and they chill for a minute. Then they go and they push super hard with something ridiculous again, and they repeat this process, which basically just gets them further along to what their ultimate agenda is. Marriage is a clear example of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, why? Like, yo, years, like you said, years ago, divorce, like, what? You're getting a divorce? Yo, you better work that out. You better work that out. Now, all of a sudden, yo, leave him, girl. Yo, leave that trick. Leave her alone. Get that money. Get whatever he got. You know what I'm saying? That's right. You married him. You know what I'm saying? You get what you deserve. And the dudes is like, yo, I can't deal with this no more. I got shorty over here that'll do X, Y, and Z for me. No, she's only doing X, Y, and Z for you probably for the first 6 months to a year. After that, it's going to be the same goddamn thing.
It's going to be the same hamburger.
Exactly. So, you know, you might as well rock with the hamburger that you got instead of trying to listen. Whether it's a White Castle, whether it's a McDonald's, they're all processed differently. But guess what? It's still a goddamn burger. No matter how you do it, it's still a goddamn burger. So you might as well deal with the burger that you got.
And you will get tired of that damn burger.
Well, you know what? Then after one
if
day,
the burger don't taste right, you're going to be tired of it.
Listen, one day, you got to make the burger work for you. But the whole thing is, we can't keep going on with it perpetuating this cycle of broken homes. We can't keep going on with the cycle of hating each other, because it seemed like within the past, 5 years, it seemed like the angst between black men and black women is just through the roof. It's like we're eating the shit out of each other. And nobody's really saying anything about it.
That's why successful black men a lot of times be like,
I'm getting a white woman.
One of our coworkers.
Well, what does Tiz go into? What does Tiz say?
He just say, well, I forgot what he's saying, but I know one thing. He was very like, I ain't messing with no black women. He ain't messing with black women.
Remember, he's like, stay away from them black women. You get to stay away from them black women, you live longer.
Now, you know what? That's sad. That's sad because they're our backbone, but you have a lot of women out here who have their own personal agendas. You have these women out here who fall into the trap of what society
you
says.
You just said
let society get up in their hand and it's a wrap.
You just said the problem. I said you just said the problem.
What?
What are they supposed to be? Our what?
our backbone.
Mm-hmm.
And where are they actually trying to stand out?
Are they trying to be the backbone?
Are they being the backbone? Or are they trying to, trying to be the head?
They're trying to be the head now.
There you go.
But wait a minute.
They're trying to be the head, and they're trying to make us look like an ass.
That's why the dynamic is so ruined.
Well, yeah, because somebody sat there and said, oh, well, why you got to be the backbone? Why can't you be the head? And see, the whole thing is this. It's not about, see, some people want to try to take the role and degrade it. It's like Denzel can go in a movie, be in a movie with Mark Wahlberg, right? And then turn around and be like, oh, why does it seem like Denzel is kind of like the sidekick to Mark Wahlberg? See, that's your perception. Don't try to infiltrate in my mind and poison my mind with your bullshit, because I know who Denzel is.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? And see, there's always that girlfriend or somebody in society, somebody is sitting there saying, oh, well, why you got to be just the backbone? Why can't you be the head? Why can't you be this? You
yep.
make your own money. You make this, you make that. And society is saying, hey, listen, you don't need them. Well, you're making your own way in here. You don't need them.
Seeds of dissension are sown.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how many black men do you really run around here and I don't need no black woman? No, you just hear men say, I don't need no woman, period. But you don't hear them say running around saying, I don't need no black woman. But then you
black
always
women say that quick. I don't need no black woman.
But you
I don't need no.
This nigga ain't shit. This nigga ain't this. He ain't that. Listen, of course he ain't going to be shit because you keep calling him shit.
Even the word comes from a different place. That black woman has to look at herself.
What are you doing to contribute to what's going on? When a guy says that he doesn't need a woman, he's like, what that mostly means is, I don't need a woman to succeed in life. Right?
Yeah.
Woman says she doesn't need a man. She's not talking about to succeed in life all the time. She's talking about for her happiness. Right? And that's usually wrong. You know, because turns out that when you're straight, you need the opposite sex in order to achieve happiness. Now, you can achieve some happiness by yourself and while single, but ultimately, even when you're single, you use the other gender to achieve some degree of happiness. When they have it in their minds that they don't need a man to be happy, that's when they start doing dumb shit.
That's when they become bitter old biddies.
Yep.
And then they wonder why. Then they wonder why they're single. Then they wonder why. See, that's the whole thing. It's like you can't just blame the black man for the broken home.
That's when they go to the club with the girls, and they stand there in a crew, and they don't want to dance. All they want to do is drink.
That's another joke. They think they're going to find the man of their dreams in the club. You dummy.
Hey, well, wait a minute. I just saw something on Facebook. That was funny. And somebody said Beyonce made a song called Single Ladies, but yet she goes home to her husband. Like, look at the ass. Like, first, exactly. Listen, look at you. You can believe that dumb shit if you want. She can make that there say single ladies. Well, your single ass going around doing what you're doing, Beyonce ain't single. She got a man. She got a husband. Where you at?
She ain't got a man. She got a man.
You think you in the club? You think you're going to find
she got a
man in the club? Come on. You know what the club scene is all about. Everybody there to get what they get. So if you really think you're going to find true love in the club, good luck.
Hey!
What?
Hey! I
said
you forgot. It's possible.
It's not that you can't. It's the idea that you will.
Exactly.
You feel me?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like you can meet the love of your life anywhere. But if you are like, you know what? I'm going to go into McDonald's and meet the love of my life. It's like, what? You know what? Like, really? That's your big plan? So your plan is something so, like, pretty much, like, seemingly improbable. It's like, you need to come up with a better plan. And now, in order to meet the man that you're going to spend the rest of your life with, that's the boss to say the least.
But you never know. I mean, it could be the person behind the register. It could be somebody on fry detail. You never know because you know what they're out there. At least they're out there busting their ass.
Right.
I tell you what, you are guaranteed a meal at nighttime because you best believe she's going to have that burger for you. Baby, you want to hang about that? You want to bring you back a Big Mac? You will have that. You will have a meal at the end of the day.
Hey,
if that's the basket that you want to put your eggs in, that's a risky basket to try to put your eggs in.
It's
the
risky.
The McDonald's thing was probably not
it's
worth
risky, but you will be in. You might not be in the company, but you will be in.
You're right about that.
But you know what? But the whole thing is, it's just the mentality that has to switch. You know what I'm saying? That's the whole thing. Like, we can't keep just looking at the McDonald's. We can't just keep looking at the fast food. What about staying home and making your own goddamn food? What about
what
staying
home and
like, about? You know? What am I talking about?
In a pot? Home cooked meals? What year are you from? Women don't know how to cook now.
Listen, I remember years ago.
They think when you put something in the microwave, oh, I'm cooking for you.
Put it in the microwave. That's not cooking. That's heating up.
Hey, you don't need to do it. I'm not eating that. Hey,
or boiling.
Hey, but dude, that's another example. That's another example that I was telling you about that I can relate to feminism being a problem. Oh, I see a girl to cook. Ask her to cook. Tell me, do you feel comfortable asking that question? Why? Why don't you feel comfortable asking that question? Why? Because feminism put it in their ear that if you are cooking and cleaning, you are not being treated as an equal. They made it a bad thing. They made something that we loved a bad thing for a woman to do.
But
my mother taught me how to cook. My mother grandmother taught me how to sew. She taught me a few damn things. I'm going to show you this so you don't have to depend on no woman. Where's that at now?
Gone.
You can't say the black woman is the backbone of our household. And as much as most men don't want to admit, most people, dudes don't want to admit it, we need them just as much as they need us. But some asshole is telling them, you don't need no men.
It's about one hand washing the other. Yeah, we got that.
Yep.
Some asshole is sitting there saying, you don't need him, girl. You don't need this. You don't need that. Listen, I'm not going to sit there and say I don't need you because I know that's not true. Let's build
that
something
chick
and make
that's talking
make
that you don't need this and you don't need that. That's that chick that's trying to get with your man. I got to have that. I need that.
I think D.L. Hughley said it when he was like, he was like, you know, why all you girls listen to your damn friend so much? He was like, oh, you don't need him. Be single. You could be single like me. like you listen to your girlfriends who don't got no man in their life.
Yeah, which is the stupidest, dumbest thing you do. Because she wants you to be right where you at. But yet, late at night, she's going to creep with your man talking about, well, what's up?
Yep.
You know, like, we have to change. Like, once again, it goes back to the accountability. We have to stop blaming everybody else. Get up and look in the mirror and look at yourself. Look at what you did negative today. What could you have done to make things more positive? What could you have said, or what could you go out there and do to make things just a little better? You know what I'm saying? But once again, we always look at, a lot of our people are always looking for the instant gratification. Instant gratification. I don't feel like cooking, so I'm going to go out to eat. I'm going to go get this processed food that I know ain't good for me, but I don't feel like doing this. Listen, it's all right every once in a while, but you got people that depend on that shit every damn day.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing it ain't no good. We'll be the first ones that know something ain't good, but we'll still indulge in it anyway.
All right, remember, you know what I'm saying, regardless of what you ate during the week, you know Sunday, you was going to get a nice home-cooked meal. Nowadays, Sunday is pizza or something. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Wow.
All that is out the door. Like I said, like you sit, how many people really sit down with their kids or sit down with each other? Whether if you got kids or not. Hey, do you really sit down at the table and eat?
Well, that's what you have to do because that's part of the family structure. You know,
yeah,
when you come to the dinner table and everybody talks about, you know, what they've been through in the day, and you confide in one another. Because
well, the Cosby Show is over. Cosby Show is over. A different world is over. Those stereotypes.
Well, you know what? We need to start
them off.
The Cosby Show again. Okay.
A lot of those shows.
Some of those values.
Cosby Show, remember South Central? A lot of them shows.
Oh, that was real there.
Yeah,
that was a real joke right there.
They don't want that because, you know what I'm saying, it's still showing positive black people. It's, even though she was in South Central, she was a single mother. She's a single mother busting her ass doing what she's got to do, but she was making it happen. But that's not the type of positive attitude society or TV wants to put out to some of these mothers, these single mothers out here. They want the single mothers to feel trapped. They want the single mothers to feel like there ain't no place that you can turn to except to the system. They want these single mothers, they as much as they try to put these programs in place for the single mothers to thrive, they want them to fail. So you can always come back.
Well, we depended on the system.
You're not going to get it from
it's
that
funny.
Man. You're going to get it from us.
It's funny you should say that because that mentality right there, that idea is exactly what I mean when I've said to numerous people that when you play the race card, you are actually probably doing more to keep the racial divisions and
yep.
to keep things with that perception that things are so unfair to you. You know, in order so you can keep that benefit that you receive because you're a protected class. because yep. things are unfair. You know, so it's like yep. you don't actually want equality, and this is one of the really big problems. People like black people do not want equality with white people, and I will say it flat out like that. Black
wow.
people don't want equality. They don't want equality. This is what they want, and this is true of almost any group that seem to be quote unquote disadvantaged. This is true between the men and women dynamic, which is why feminism is such a problem, because it's nonsense. It's not true. The thing that they say they want is not actually true. They don't want equality. They want a power swap, or they want to retain their benefits that they get from being disadvantaged while having the same opportunities, which means that at the end, it's not equal. They have more power. In the end, they want more power, period. They either want to be the ones completely in charge, or they want to have more power than you without being called completely in charge.
Oh, yeah.
If you cannot see the logic in that, I will explain it even better.
It's like that, having that invisible power. Yeah,
right.
I got more power than him, but he doesn't need to know that.
Right.
It's that invisible power.
And the way that you retain that, it's like this, and I've told this story a couple of times too, and I'll try to like tell a quick version of it. I had a teacher come in my class when I was like a kid, and he said that, you know, there's three ways to succeed in life. You know, there's a be really smart, be really attractive, or be handicapped. And you hit a laugh,
wow.
like, be handicapped. How does that help you? Because when you are, you know, not a literal handicap where you like have a broken arm or something like that, like you have something that is seen as a disadvantage. And because you seem like you have a disadvantage, you get benefits. It's like having a handicap sticker on your car, but you're not actually hurt. But you
yeah.
can actually park closer.
You can park into it.
For handicapped people. This is the same mentality that can be applied to anything. So when being black is a disadvantage, this gets you extra power. So in the end, if black people cannot have the power swap, you know, switch places completely with white people, where now we are running things, we want to have the additional power that we get from being disadvantaged. But we don't want to actually be equal, 100% equal, because when you're 100% equal, people can say whatever they want to you. Like, you have to work just as hard as every single other person. You know, you don't get something like affirmative action to help you, you know, along the way in any way. And to me, that's a necessary, like, that has been a necessary evil. I don't know how much I would say it still is, but it's like, you don't get these things that help push you up when you're actually equal. And that's a reality that people don't want to face.
True.
To actually work as hard as the next person, a lot of people don't want that.
Well,
they may subconsciously not want it. A lot of this is
because
subconscious.
Because black people are used to the handout. They're used to the handout.
Right.
Used to
I don't think a lot of this is conscious thought and decision. Like, oh, I don't want that, so I'm going to do this. No, it's not. It's not that serious. But it's unconscious. So they just operate in a way where their actions tell you this.
Well, I mean, it goes back. Remember that somebody said this a while ago. Like, black people want to look good and win second. White people win first and look good third. Like, looking good don't matter. Looking good don't matter to them. It's all about winning the game. Black people want to look good.
Us as black people, we want to look good first. When it comes to certain aspects, like going to the club, gotta look the freshest and gotta be the freshest out there. Gotta have on the latest thing. You know, gotta have that car. Might not have the money to afford that car, but gotta have that car.
Or even going to school, you know what I'm saying? It doesn't matter. The grades aren't important. Just loans that look good taking a test.
Yeah,
and
you living in
the
project, but you driving an X5, a Range Rover, or you got the M6.
and you live in the projects.
With huge rims that make your that make your tires look stupid.
Yeah. Where's the priority? All that money you spent on the car, you could have gotten a house.
Oh, they didn't even spend that money. They leasing that thing. You ain't know?
No. All that money that you paid, all that lease money, you pay a nice chunk of change for that. You need to come down a little bit.
It's a sad cycle.
It is a mindset that I don't know how you can fault somebody else for a mindset that you have. Like, it's your mind. It's like, I forgot who. I think it might have been Cat Williams.
Yeah, Cat Williams is about to sell stupid.
How can I mess with your stupid team? It's yours.
Wow. I didn't hear that part about Cat Williams.
Right.
What was that about Cat Williams
right
now?
He said he was telling women, he was like, how are you blaming men for you having low self-esteem? That man messed up your self-esteem. How are you going to mess up your self-esteem? It's your self-esteem. Yours.
Mm-hmm.
He's right. And you know what? Once again, it's like what you said about the whole thing of playing a victim. Like, it seems like 70% of our people just live that victim role. They can turn like I'm gonna shoot you, but oh, I'm the victim. Wait a minute, you just shot that man. Well, he disrespected me, so I had to get revenge. Listen, look, play the victim someplace else. You did wrong. Own up to it.
Yep.
Because I'm sure there's a lot of cats in jail that was like, oh, I'm not supposed to be here. Right.
Well, I would say that there's probably a very, very small percentage of them, the overwhelming majority do belong there.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. It's the whole attitude of, it's not my fault. It's not my fault.
Yeah.
Shut the hell up. It is your fault. It is your fault because you chose not to know that.
If you robbed the bank, if you and your friend Pookie robbed the bank and you got caught because you tripped over your shoelaces, it's your fault.
One of the most idiotic things. One of the most idiotic things that I've heard. And I'm not gonna say the rapper who said it. But a lot of these cats try to say that, oh, you know, but we had to do things because of our situation. You know, we came up in hopelessness, or we came up like this, so we had to do certain things. So you're trying to tell me that you had to sell drugs because the system put you in the projects. You know what I'm saying? You're telling me that you had to go out there and sell your ass because the system didn't do for you what you wanted it to do for you. You're trying to tell me that you went out there and you had to go get on them drugs because the world was just too much for you to deal with. Listen, kick rocks. Put the H on your chest and handle it. Because, yo, we go through stuff. Everybody goes through something. Not everybody run into some crack or some cocaine to be throwing up their nose and thinking it's okay. Listen, whether it's McDonald's, Wendy's, or it's digging a ditch, there's some job out there that you can do. You don't have to sell drugs. But
right.
You did it because it's convenient. Because you're being a lazy ass. You're going to take the easy way out. And I
you wanted the quick money.
The white man, somebody says, hey, take these drugs, go sell it to them people, and you'll make money. You'll be able to feed yourself and your family. Okay, and look, you don't have to punch a clock. Wow, that sounds good to me. And they go do it.
And
that's that quick the money. It's the quick money. You ain't going to never make quick the money
else
than the white man. Yeah, exactly, and blame somebody else. Well, he gave it to me. Nobody said you had to take it.
Right. And that is exactly part of the perpetual victim role because it's like, well, it was my environment, so I did what I had to do. And it's like, wait a second, wait a second, wait a second.
That's tiring.
This whole I did what I had to do thing, you know, I can appreciate that statement, except when the statement is saying, you know, so I sold drugs, so I sold myself on the corner, so I did, you know, so I robbed people, so I, you know, things like that. It's like, wait a second. You realize that this only works when you're not, when it's not applied to you all of a sudden, right? Because the moment that turns around on you and someone else is just doing what they had to do, now it's a problem.
Yes.
But even with that, sometimes you have a person who won't blame the person who actually is doing it to them. Like, so
nope.
What I'm saying is you have a black person, they get robbed by a black person, they don't even want to put the problem on black on the black person who did it, or the black people in the neighborhood who made their neighborhood like this. They still turn to the white man who they never even see. You know how many people are, yep. You know how many black people are racist against white people and don't ever encounter them except with maybe like a teacher in school or something like that? It's like, dude, in your neighborhood, they don't live
there.
Yeah,
big portion.
How you mad at them?
No,
you don't interact with them. How do you hate them? You know nothing about them.
Wow. That is true.
The only thing you know about them is what you heard from either your peers or like certain, like parents and stuff like that who had bad experiences or just as jaded or just as, you know, tainted by their peers and or elders.
Yo, you know, I got a serious question.
That's
what I
say.
We got to
elevate.
We got 8 minutes.
We
got 8 minutes to go. But yo, I really got to ask this question. Do you think that we are better off since segregation, or segregation? Do you think we would have been better off if we were segregated?
I think that we would have been just as bad or just as good, regardless.
I just look at South Africa and look how that segregation was. I ain't trying to hear that. Them cats are living in shanty towns over there. Not trying to hear that.
That's their fault.
See, now,
I don't like forced segregation nor forced integration. I don't like the idea of, you know, we're going to put diversity first so much that we're going to actually hurt ourselves by lowering our standards or requirements to get into X, Y, or Z.
Yeah,
that doesn't make sense.
People where, you know, just let people have the freedom of go to where they want to go, not be forced or pushed there. Or
well, it goes back to what Chad said. It basically, it's like being black is a handicap. That's what they're saying.
That's what they use
it as. You're handicapped. You're handicapped because you're black. That's what they're saying. That's what they're saying. And you know what? Somebody should go to each little kid out there and say, hey, you know you're handicapped? No, I'm not. Yes, you are, because you're black. Like, you're worse than the kid in the wheelchair. That's what society's saying. You're worse off than the kid in the wheelchair. He has a better advantage of getting further than you ever will in your life.
Then some black people should say, then, you know, if I'm handicapped, then where's my money at?
You
can only say that to people who will be smart enough to figure out what you're trying to get at and what you're actually trying to say. One of the main problems with the black community is that the leaders of these communities, the leaders of the poor people, because it's actually not even just limited to black people, but you just see it the most with them, because we are black and we notice it the most. But the problem is that the leaders don't actually address these problems. Instead, they say the right things to, you know, pretty much manipulate the people and galvanize them to, like, so that they create more people who will also support this person. And they just garner support. They don't tell them what really needs to be addressed. They don't tell people, hey, be smart. Stop populating so goddamn much when you don't have money to even support yourself.
Yeah.
That's
simple.
First of all, are they really
they get corralled into
the community leaders' agenda, per se.
Nah, listen. First of all, are they really leaders or are they just crusaders? You see, the thing is, it's better, it looks good to be a crusader than to be a leader. Because you're minus the cape and the S on your chest, you're fighting for a cause. So you're a crusader. You're no real leader. Because real leaders are active in the community. Real leaders don't have an office over on Wall Street or in a ritzy area. Real leaders stay in the hood. Real leaders are out there talking to the kids. Real leaders are out there talking to the moms, talking to the brothers on the corner. That's what real leaders do. Crusaders sit back and wait till shit happens, and then they swoop in and drop a couple of lines.
Either one can create positive change, and as long as the change is positive, they could be whichever one. They don't have to actually live there, or they could be right down there in the trenches. But the fact of the matter is that there's too many people, whether or not they show themselves in the trenches or they're sitting back in their office chair, they are not actually for the people the way they say they're for the people. They are for the people's support, not for the people's betterment.
True. And that's the problem. Well, all I can say is this. With 4 minutes to go, this is just part one of three parts. Next week, we're going to jump into Brother L's, a topic that Brother L been really wanting to get at. And Brother L, I'm gonna let you tell it how it is, because it's basically on you next Thursday.
All right, cool.
We got to go with
in our own community.
I'm talking about the topic that you wanted to talk about.
Well, I was about to before I was, you know.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Interrupted.
Okay, I'm sorry, sir.
Good gravy. The difference between, or I should say, the division between light-skinned and black-skinned African-Americans.
The same thing instead of black-skinned. You're wrong. What do you mean black-skinned? Why are you saying light-skinned?
Light-skinned and dark-skinned African-Americans. See?
Oh,
there we go, right
there. Wow, see? Yeah, it's going to be hot next Thursday. Light-skinned and black-skinned.
You mean between charcoal and high yellow?
Yeah. You would have been better off saying that. Instead of light skin and black skin. You know what I'm saying? Like, what? Come on, man.
What did I say? Please tell me what I said.
Light skin and black skin. What kind of crap is that, light skin and black skin?
Why do you have, dark skin? Jesus. This is what I'm talking about, black people. Here we go, black people. You probably got an issue with you probably saying black people.
You know, the funny thing is, I already know that something that has to be said next week is that you will never be black enough. You will never be just right black. Either you're too black or you're not black enough.
No, you know what? You are right about that one. There is no shade of gray. There is no shade of gray in the black community. You're too much of this, or you're not enough of that. Because I'm going to tell you what, I have heard it.
Mm-hmm.
I've been
you
there.
You know what, that's why I hope, like, y'all, I want to thank you, Chad, for calling in. You know,
thank you for having me.
Another Pierre. As always,
we got internal racism or something within our own. We're going to get at it next week, damn it.
You know what? You're absolutely right, and I'm looking forward to it. I hope that we got some of the issues out of the way. I mean, I think the third and final topic, I think we just have to address something with, you know,
it's
black
be
men in general.
Good hair and bad hair.
I'm going to leave the hair thing alone. I'm bold, so I ain't worried about it.
I'm sad too, but you know what? Hey, it's all going to be a wrap.
Yeah, next Thursday, 8 p.m., we're going to jump into that topic. But once again, thank you, Chad. Thank you, Pierre. Brother L.
Yes, sir.
Everybody holding it down. Everybody have a blessed week, and enjoy your day.
Yeah, wait, I didn't know this number just popped up. 314-381-4644.
Well, we got 10 seconds left, so we got to go. I'm sorry.
We thank you for calling in, but please call in next week. 8 o'clock.
Please.
Next Thursday, 8 o'clock.
All right, Joe, have a good night.
You too.
Later.
Later.